In the name of the living God, creating, redeeming, and sustaining.
Amen.
I know one of the things I count on when I come to church every week is to hear good news. And that's what we do in this place. We proclaim the good news of Jesus. It's a relief in this world that can deal so much in anger and disappointment. We can find good news here. So, what do we find in the good news we hear this week? As a clergy colleague fondly titled her sermon, what we find is hacking off our limbs for Jesus. Some good news, right? Today is where biblical literalism is put to the test. You may find creationists who believe that God created the world in 7 days, but how often do you find people who are walking around with gouged out eyes and cut off arms? If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, right? Well, as Gandhi once wryly commented on this whole biblical faith thing, an eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind. So where's the good news in this passage we heard today? And what exactly does this gospel we heard mean? How can it bring about new life in the world? I'll admit, this is one of the more challenging sermons I've ever sat down to write. How does the new rector preach the gospel this week in the one like we've experienced? Theologian Karl Barth was quoted in Time magazine in 1966 as saying, "Take your Bible and take your newspaper and read both, but interpret your newspapers from your Bible." So today my task is to be faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I've tended to this work, I've been aware that if any of you have had any access to any news media at all, you've been exposed to some of the most explosive and emotion-evoking news that can be reported. And I believe I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge that just in this room, this small gathering here at 8 o'clock this morning, we're probably bringing a whole range of opinions, thoughts, and emotions to this space. In the midst of watching the news myself, I've been aware of its power to captivate, to stir up, to both unite and divide. I've been aware of one of my friends who was accused himself, not of sexual assault, but of something else. I walked alongside him as he was taken out of consideration for a job of high distinction without investigation of the claims against him. I've seen many of my friends this week relive their own experience of trauma. And all of us have been looking on as the news has played out. So how do we read the news and the Bible this week and interpret everything through the lens of Scripture? Where's the good news? So let's go back a few verses from the gouging out of eyes, which I'll return to in a bit. To the top of what we heard this morning in the Gospel of Mark, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will soon afterward be able to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us." As Rachel Keefe wrote in The Christian Century about a month ago, we've become very good at saying, "I'm not that kind of Christian," from every side of the things that divide us. Jesus has something radical to say about those who might be doing things a little bit differently than the 12 and their group. "Whoever's not against us is for us." That's where good news lies today. Jesus makes it clear that there is a way to life, no matter what side you're on, and we're all invited. We're invited to a way of life. In just the first chapter of Mark, you can mine that way of life to look like this. Jesus was not self-promoting. He always pointed to a greater power at work. Jesus was obedient to the Holy Spirit. Jesus was a relationship builder, merging together diverse people who are unlike one another. Jesus prayed daily. Jesus empowered others. But here in the gospel is the disciple John trying to set up some dividing lines. It's like the kid in second grade who told me I wasn't following the assignment because I was coloring outside of the lines. Jesus, teacher, we saw someone doing your work, but he's not really on our team. He's not following our game plan. Make them stop before they ruin everything. Does this sound familiar? There are a lot of people, I'll admit, myself included, who have been certain of their self-rightness this week. And like the disciples, we can be shocked when Jesus doesn't take our side. The disciples were trusting in their own egos, their need to be right. The disciples and we often don't realize we're stepping off the holy path. Jesus says, if any one of you puts a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. Ugh, the Greek word for stumbling block in today's gospel is skandaliso, which is in the family of Greek words for scandal, a snare, a trap, a way to miss the main point. This week in a fake news source, it's known for being fake news, it's called the Babylon Bee. It's a Christian satire site like The Onion. It facetiously reported this headline, "Success! After a full day of hearings, everyone believes exactly what they already believed about Kavanaugh." And a fake quote by Senator Feinstein that contains a lot of truth. "We accomplished exactly what we wanted to here. Everybody is more divided than before, and levels of hatred are at an all-time high. Not a single person's mind was changed, and that's the way politics should be." This satire sheds light on our ultimately missing the point. This is the week of the stumbling block, the scandaliso, the putting of negative cause and effect relationship into motion. And that might be where our country is, but Jesus shows us a better way. Jesus launches into the heart of his life-giving way in the gospel this morning. And of course he does it in this stunningly graphic way. So now let's get back to the gouging your eye out part. When Jesus says "you" in scripture, he almost never means a singular "you." This was a collective culture Jesus was living in. He means all of us together as a body. If something is keeping you, us, from living this way of life together as a body of people, don't just set it aside, gouge it out. Cut it off. We've never needed Jesus more than we do now. We've never needed wholeness more than we do now. So this is hardcore good news. Don't accept anything that flies in the face of mutual life-giving relationship. We saw how the heart of this gospel was on full display in a U.S. Capitol elevator on Friday as a sexual assault victim spoke of her pain and requested a response from a senator who represents a body of people. She said boldly, "Look at me when I am talking to you. Look at me when I am talking to you." In that sentence, She gouged out the turning of a blind eye and demanded that instead we see one another eye to eye. She demanded that we stop with the scandals and we get to the real story, our relationships with one another, our responsibilities to one another. Don't accept anything that flies in the face of mutual, life-giving relationship. Gouge it out. Cut it off. And that doesn't mean to throw each other out. It means to throw out dismissiveness, to cut off hatred, to gouge out divisiveness. Ultimately, Jesus sums it up in the very last two phrases of the gospel. The first, have salt in yourselves. Salt's what brings out the best flavor in what it touches. It reveals it for what it is, and then it celebrates all that is good about it. And that last phrase, be at peace with one another. After all of the gouging and the maiming, Jesus calls for peace. You can't do that if you throw someone off the cliff. You can do it if you throw out hatred. Stop harming one another. Stop with the stumbling blocks. Jesus doesn't call us to cut off one another or to harm ourselves, but to gouge out all that keeps us from the way of love. We are called to do the hard work of starting to truly live together, to recognize that warring against one another, no matter the side or the perspective, is not the way of Jesus Christ. Jesus in the gospel 2,000 years ago and this week calls us to focus on the real story. And that is moving beyond who's right and who's wrong and into a focus on how we treat one another with dignity and respect. Only then will we stop hanging millstones around our necks, effectively drowning ourselves. So there is good news today, and it's this. We worship a living God who lived and died to draw us into deeper relationship with himself and with one another. Mutual, loving relationship is possible even with people who don't think like us. We have a long way to go, but this is ultimately our hope, a world where we can truly be at peace with one another. Amen.